Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen, amen, amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you about gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 9. While you're turning there, I want to tell you a joke. Is that okay? Just kind of lighten the mood. I had a friend that recently reminded me of the joke, so if he's listening later on, yes, I got this from you and from your message, okay? So I'm stealing it back because I think I've told it before. There was a man and his wife, and they were celebrating together. They both had the same birthday, born on the same day, the same year. Kind of neat. And so they were husband and wife and been married for a long time, and they were both celebrating their 60th birthday together. Isn't that neat? And so there they were on their 60th birthday, and somebody gave them a unique gift. And the gift was one of those lamps from the Middle East. And so they got it out, and they were looking at it, and you know, it was kind of dusty. So the woman started to rub it a little bit. As she rubbed it, all of a sudden, a genie comes out. And he says, "I would like to grant you a wish on your birthday." And she says, "Really, a wish? That's awesome. I would love to have a wish." So she says, "I wish I could be wealthy and travel the entire world for the rest of my life." And so poof, all of a sudden there's riches surrounding her. They find themselves on a cruise liner and they're traveling the world, and she's looking, "This is awesome. This, what a birthday gift this was." And the husband gets big bright eyes and he goes, "Well, I'd like to have a wish as well. Can I have a wish?" And the genie says, "Ask and it'll be given to you." And so he says, "Well, I'd like my wife to be 30 years younger than me." And he says, "Your wish is my command." And poof, he made the man 90 years old. Praise the Lord. Thank God there's no genies giving us wishes that we didn't really need, right? Tonight, gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. In the Word of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it tells us the workings of the Holy Spirit. This is not the workings of a genie. This is not some magical abracadabra thing that we're talking about tonight. This is the reality of God's Word. This goes beyond the natural, and it goes into the supernatural. And the Bible says that as the Holy Spirit wills, that He gives gifts. These are things that come from God. You know that God wants to give you a gift? That God wants to bless you? He doesn't want to give you something that will harm you or hurt you. The Bible says if we're His children, how many of you, when your children ask for bread, give them a stone, Jesus said? Or if they ask for fish, will He give them a serpent? None of us would do that to our children. That's mean-spirited, and I know some of you guys have done that and then posted it on the internet, but that is not God, right? God doesn't do that to us. He doesn't mock us, and the things that He gives to us liberally and without reproach. God loves us so much, and He's a good Father. And so some of the gifts that are mentioned are gifts that we can use personally in our prayer life, things that we can use to exalt God in our praise life, things that we can use to work miracles and as well to give out gifts to other people. They're gifts for us to edify the body of Christ as well as to reach the lost. And so here, one of the gifts that we find is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, it says, "To another is given faith by the same Spirit." To another, look at this, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Gifts of healings by the same Spirit. It's interesting to me. It didn't say a gift, singular, of healing, singular, by the same Spirit. It said gifts, plural, of healings, plural, by the same Spirit. One Spirit that gives to an individual, one person, gifts, plural, of healings. Now, that piques my attention anytime I see something like that in the Word, because I'm like, what is that all about? Why wasn't it a gift? You know, like the gift of faith, or the gift of tongues, or the gift of interpretations of tongues, you know, those sorts of things. Why would it be gifts, plural, of healings, plural? Let me ask you something. Have you ever been sick? Have you ever been in pain? Sometimes that's one event, isn't it? But sometimes that's two different events, right? Have you ever had a disease? Some of us have been sick, but we've never had a disease, right? Some of us have had things that have been afflictions. That's repeated pain or chronic things that have come against our lives, right? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, where it wasn't just a one-time thing. It was something that came up over and over again. That's what causes people to say things like, "This is my bad knee. It often hurts me." Or anytime the weather gets cold, I find myself hurting in my bones because of, you know, and then they'll say a certain thing or something that might be taking place, arthritis or something like that. Or an old injury, right? See, there may be things that go on. There may be a diversity of things that take place in the body, right? You may be sick in your body, but your feet are fine. Or you may hurt your foot, but your body overall is fine. You're not sick. See, I believe that because there's a diversity of things that come against us physically, that God had to, by nature of that, give us gifts that would match the needs that are applied to our bodies. Everybody tracking with me? Right? See, God didn't just do a one-size-fits-all, here's healing, and he just blanketed over everything. No, God knows our individual needs. He knows the number of hairs on our head or the lack thereof, right? God is the God who counted the stars, who numbers them, and who names them by name. I mean, there's billions of stars out there. And man has a way of numbering them and doing that sort of a thing, but we haven't named them all yet. There's C298, there's C299, C300, right? C3PO, all that kind of a thing. Just thought I'd throw that in there because it is after May 4th. But anyways, God named them all. Not just numbered them, he named them. He's the one who hung them on nothing, placed them where they should be. See, God knows the number of hairs on your head. He knits you together in your mother's womb. He knows the number of cells in your body. And he knows what's right, but he also knows what's wrong with each and every one of them. God knows where the pain is coming from. God knows where things haven't gone right. God knows the attack that's coming against our bodies physically. God knows all those things. And because of that, because God is a personal, intimate God, God gives gifts, plural, of healings, plural Y, to match the individual needs of all of us. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Is your expectation rising? Keep it going. Keep it going. Because there's many things that come against us. Many things that we go through, slew of issues. Pain is one thing. Sickness is another thing. Weakness is another thing. Disease is another thing, right? Sometimes there could be nothing wrong with us physically where a doctor would say, you know, I don't see that there's any sickness. There's no disease. There's no pain factors, but you're still weak. Right? And it may be fatigue, it may be tiredness, it may be exhaustion, it may be stress, all these things. God has made a provision for us in the blood of Jesus for every issue that comes against our lives. Now, here's the neat thing about that, is that the delivery of that provision comes to us in a diversity of ways. And we see this in the Word of God. We see this with Jesus. In fact, you know that Jesus, if you follow his life, if you read in the Gospels, you'll find Jesus, sometimes he'll speak a word. Sometimes he'll lay a hand on somebody. Sometimes he'll do weird stuff, like spit on the ground, make a little pile of mud, and apply it to somebody's eyes, and tell them to go wash that off. I'd be like, yes, thank you, because that was gross. You know what I mean? You just spit, you know. One time Jesus puts his fingers in somebody. I mean, just all sorts of different stuff. He touches somebody's tongue. Jesus wasn't afraid. He reached out and he touched the leper to cleanse him. But other times he would speak and he'd tell them to go do something. Go and show yourself to the priest. And they get healed on the way. See, Jesus is the manifestation of God bodily, right? And he said, we understand that in the sense that Jesus said that when you see me, you've seen the Father. But did you know that in him dwelt the Godhead fully? The Holy Spirit was in Jesus and poured out on Jesus without measure. Jesus had to live by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if it's a gift of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of healings were manifested through the life of Jesus in a diversity of ways because the Holy Spirit was working through him in order to bring those gifts to show us that this is not a system. It's, you know, if it was, we could just do whatever it was. Okay, step A is, all right, we've got to say in the name of Jesus. Step two is we place a hand on the forehead. Step three is, and on and on and on, right? And we would expect that to work every time. But the problem is we don't see that in the Word. There's no formulaic one way that it tells us. There's all sorts of different ways that it happened. And I believe that that's because it's distributed by the Spirit as he wills. God will not be put into a box. God will not be put into a system. God created the systems, but God can operate outside the systems. That's what a miracle is all about. That's what supernatural things are all about because it's supernatural. It supersedes the natural course of events. It is a divine intervention on the natural course that God created in order to bring about a different plan. A miracle would be things like Jesus speaking the word and water becomes wine. That is a miracle, right? That's miraculous. That supersedes the natural course of events. The same thing that a miracle takes place and a gift of healing takes place together when somebody's raised from the dead. Because in the natural, they died. But it's miraculous when their body is revived and they would have to be healed of whatever killed them or whatever caused them to pass. Is that right? So you can see these gifts operating together. Same thing with the gift of faith, right? We have to believe God at certain times in order to declare by faith the counsel of God as if God himself were saying it in order to have the miraculous and in order to have certain gifts of healings. They operate together. God gives them severally as he wills. Now, I'm happy to announce to you tonight that when we walked in together, when we gathered together, the Bible says that Jesus said, he made a promise to all of us that where two or more are gathered, there he is in their midst. That means that when we all walked in the room, Jesus walked in with us tonight. Now, he's not here in the bodily form any longer. No, he has now given his spirit, and now the spirit of Christ resides in the church. In fact, if you're a believer, it resides on the inside of you. You brought him with you, and he goes wherever you go, and he does whatever you do, and he operates in and through you as a believer. Therefore, the Spirit of God is in the house tonight, and I believe because God had me prepare this message that God wants to do some supernatural things in the house tonight. God wants to heal physical bodies. God wants to do the miraculous. God wants to supersede the natural course of life. See, remember, we had our prayers tonight where we lifted our Bible over our head because some of you are thinking, well, wait a second, I've gotten a doctor's report. And the Bible comes down here, doesn't it? It goes under what you are giving authority to in your life. You're allowing the doctor's report to be exalted above the Word of God. But see, that may be the natural course. Your body's breaking down. You were too hard on it. You got sick. This is just something that happens to old people. This is something that happens to young, stupid people, right? Some of us could say, man, I made some bad choices, and this is where it got me. It got me, you know, this disease, and that happens when you do drugs, or that happens when you're not careful, or that happens when you're promiscuous. All these things. And now here you are in the house of God, but God says, I don't want you to exalt the doctor's report or the natural course. I'm a supernatural God, and if you will exalt this above everything else, you can receive something that supersedes the natural course of life. No matter the mistakes you've made, no matter the time that you've had on this earth, God is the one. Listen, there were old people in the Bible that you can find doing battle. Caleb, Joshua, 80 years old, and God did not allow their sandals to wear out nor their feet to swell. And they went in and they had military victories. Caleb said, 40 years ago today, I was ready to come in and I'm as strong today as I was then. Why? Because God superseded the natural course of life and sustained his physical body so that he could go into the promised land. Same thing with Joshua. Same thing with Abraham and Sarah, who could not, because of the natural course of life, have a baby because they were too old. But God intervened on their behalf and did something supernatural, and they were able to have a baby at 100 years old and 90 years old. Now, just the process of that was a miracle, but we won't go there tonight. See, the delivery is oftentimes diverse. God wants to deliver miracles to all of us, to each and every one of us in this room. A couple of ways that we see in the Bible, okay? We're going to do this God's way. A couple of ways that we see in the Bible, diversity of ways. Tonight, I'm going to cover a couple of the ways that we see in the Bible. So don't worry, no one's spitting on dirt and rubbing it on your face today, okay? We're not going to do that one. Maybe some of you can do that on your own, but I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm not going to put my hands on anybody's tongues tonight, not touching a tongue unless the Spirit directs me to do so. But that's just gross, and I don't want to put my fingers in your mouth, okay? So I'm not going to go there unless the Lord impresses that on me, okay? But one of the ways that we see in the Bible is this, the anointing of oil by the elders. Okay? The anointing of oil by the elders. Let's take a look at it in the Word in James chapter 5, verse number 14. James chapter number 5, kind of towards the end of your Bible. If you go past the book of Hebrews, you'll find the book of James. If you hit 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, or Revelation, Jude, turn back, come back. James chapter number 5, look at verse number 14. James chapter 5, verse 14 says this, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay? So tonight, let's do it. You guys ready? Okay, let's start with that one, all right? Now, I'm going to ask not for people in pain. I'm going to ask for people not people who are dealing with a disease. Okay, we'll cover those ones. Okay, you got to listen to instructions tonight. Okay, because I'm listening to instructions as well. The Holy Spirit's leading me how we're going to do this. Okay, so we're about ready to have the elders come forward. We're going to lay hands, we're going to anoint, and we're going to pray the prayer of faith over the sick, okay? So if you're sick in this place tonight, I want you to stand up right now, okay? Now again, I'm not talking about disease like cancer, any of those things. If you're just sick, maybe you've got the sniffles, maybe you've got a cough, maybe you've got seasonal allergies, okay? I'm going to call out a couple things here. You're sick. Respiratory infection. Okay, if you have any of those things, there's sickness, okay? Nobody? All right. Here we go. Okay, here's a couple. All right. Sick in your body, all right? Yeah, if you're prideful and you don't stand up for this, you're not going to receive anything, right? Okay, so I know there are those of you who have disease. Okay, but good. All right, it's okay. It's not a shameful thing to say I'm not feeling well. Sometimes people in faith circles don't want to even say they're sick. No. Come on, let's acknowledge there's something going on and I want to be anointed with oil and have the elders pray for me, okay? All right, you're sick. Maybe you got the sniffles, cough, that sort of a thing, right? Okay, pastors, reverends, come on up. Thank you, Jesus. Pastors, you guys can go sit down if they have some baby wipes for them to wash up their hands, okay? Second one that we see in the Word of God is the laying on of hands, okay? So we just saw, call for the elders. If anybody's sick, call for the elders, have them lay hands. Now listen, every time we gather as a church, right after church service, we have a group of elders. We have prayer teams, we call them. Right after church, they will pray the prayer of faith, anoint you with oil if you're sick in your body. You can come to the altar right after any church service and get that same prayer that we just had, okay? And that demonstration of the gifts of healings will be in operation here at the altar, okay? Many people, many testimonies over recent months and years that have gotten healed at the altars here at the Rock. So I want to encourage you guys, anytime you're feeling sick, don't do it alone, all right? Come and join your faith with some leaders here at the church and you can get healed. Second one is this, we see the laying on of hands. In fact, Jesus did this. Jesus, in his own ministry, you'll find that they begged him to come and lay his hands on individuals to heal them. He gave power and authority to the apostles, and he told them that you will go out, you will cast out devils, that you lay hands on the sick and heal them. And he gave that same authority to the church. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, turn there with me in the book of Mark, chapter number 16. Right at the end of Mark, so if you hit Luke, just go backwards until you find Mark chapter number 16. Right towards the end, verse number 18, Jesus is speaking. He's telling what's going to happen after he goes up into heaven. Gives them the charge to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to everyone. He starts talking about the signs that are going to follow. They're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. Look at verse number 18. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Look at the last part of this. This is speaking of the believers. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The believers in Jesus Christ will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The laying on of hands, you'll see it all throughout the Bible in the Old Testament. Oftentimes, the laying on of hands symbolized a transferring of something. They would lay hands on a scapegoat. They would lay hands to project the sin of the nation or their own sin onto an animal that they were about ready to sacrifice, the lamb that they would bring. They would lay their hands and they would confess their sins. And it was almost as if they were transferring their sins to that animal so that when it was sacrificed before the Lord, the sins went with it. In the same way, what we're doing is we're believing God for a transference of something. And that is a transfer of the power of God that's resident with on the inside of us, the spirit that's been given to us, into the body of somebody who's feeling sick. And that is a privilege of all believers, that they, all believers, will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You don't have to have a special gift of healing. You don't have to be a healing evangelist. You can just be a believer in Jesus. You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, in our day and age, okay, we have to say this appropriate touch, All right, we're keeping it to head, shoulders. You know, if somebody says my arm isn't feeling good, my knee, that sort of a thing, we always are appropriate. And if somebody says, well, I don't want to, you know, share, it's a personal, private, then just head, shoulder, that sort of a thing, appropriate touch, okay? It's always something good to just share in the Word of God, because, you know, somebody says, you know, my butt is just hurting. You don't do that, okay? You just stay away from that, all right? Or anywhere else that's sensitive or personal, okay? Just in our day and age, you got to say those things, because believers are supposed to be decent and in order, right, and above reproach. So none of that's going to go on in our church, all right? This is a godly, holy place. But we shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, let me talk to you about recovery for a second. This has been something that I've struggled with. I know many people struggle with. Somebody prayed for me, and I didn't get better, or I got a little better, or it took time, and I think I just got healed in the natural course of life. You know, the Bible uses several different words for healing. There's one word that means instantaneous, miraculous. And there are people that you find in the Bible that got healed like that, instantaneous, right? Jesus said the word. They found out that the hour that he was healed was the same hour that Jesus said the word, right? Jesus would cast a demon out of something. From that moment, they were healed. There'd be different times where there was supernatural intervention. Jesus picked up the ear of Malchus, the servant who Peter sliced his ear off, right? And he said, permit me. And he restored the ear. That's a supernatural miracle. That's a miraculous healing that took place. But there's another word in the Bible for healing called therapeo. It's the same word that we get our word therapy from. Now, any of you that have had physical therapy or, you know, emotional therapy, those sorts of things, you know that it's a process that takes time. Sometimes our healing is a process. Sometimes when we lay hands on the sick, the Bible says they shall recover. How many of you know sometimes recovery takes time, right? And here's the thought. If you didn't get the prayer, would you have gotten better? Or would you have gotten worse? See, sometimes people say, well, I didn't get instantaneously healed, so God must not want to heal me. No, God wants to heal you. God wants to touch you. It's God's will for you to be healed. But just like the 10 lepers, Jesus said, I want you to go and I want you to present yourself to the priest. And on their way of obedience, they realized, wait a second, the leprosy's gone, right? One came back praising God, and Jesus said, this is the only one that's come back, right? This foreigner came back? That's it? See, we have to turn our faith switch on and praise God even when we don't see results, right? Because we're believing God for our healing. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to do supernatural interventions. It just means that if you don't see it right away, you keep believing and you keep praising. You understand? So tonight, we're going to lay hands on the sick, and I'm going to have everyone in the room, right? All the believers, if you're a believer in this place, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You've got faith to believe God for people's healings. And so I want to get the big ones. All right, what are the big ones, you see, right? I want the hopeless cases. I want the cancers. I want the terminal. I want the lost causes. I want that there's nothing that you can do. I want that it's always been this way, and I was walking into this place and I believe it was always going to be that way. But yet tonight, we're going to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I want you, if you feel like you're a lost cause, if you feel like you're terminal, if you've been chronic, if it's been an issue you dealt with, I don't care if it's been since birth, I want you to stand to your feet right now. If you've got cancer in your body, if you've got heart problems, if you've got things that the doctor said they can't deal with, stand to your feet right now, because we're going to lay hands on you and you shall recover. All right, come on. If there's been a prognosis, a diagnosis, if there's been something spoken over you, this is how you are. Stand to your feet, come on. And don't be afraid. There's no shame, right? There's no shame. If you want to believe God, somebody's going to lay hands on you and you shall recover. Everybody see everybody standing around you? Okay, take a look around. Find the person that's closest to you that's standing up. Okay, and I want you appropriately, like I said, appropriately, get a hand on a shoulder, on a head. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody said amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord tonight. Third one for tonight is this, is speaking the word. I can see places where Jesus spoke a word and people got healed. In fact, I love it in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits, look at this, with a word. Jesus just spoke, get out. That was it. In fact, it says a word, out. right? That's all he had to say. They were gone. Look at this. And healed all who were sick. I believe that that same spoken word applies to the next part of that sentence, even though there's a comma there. He healed all who were sick. Now, he may have laid hands, but I believe that Jesus spoke a word, be healed, right? Probably just said, healed. Delivered. Free. Whole. He could just speak a word. And they were healed. In fact, that lines up with Psalm 107, verse 20. Look at this. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God is the deliverer from sickness, from healing, from pain. I believe we had some pastors beforehand. Any of you pastors that I said, did you get a word? Pastor Antonio, you got one? Get up here, man. Come in. Come here. Okay. Who else? Did you get one? No. No? You got one? Come here. You got one? Anybody else? Okay, cool. Look at this. This is awesome. I told the pastor beforehand, I said, if you don't get a word, tell me no. It's okay. These guys got the word. What's the word that you got?
Eating disorders.
Was there a scripture for that one? No. Okay, so specifically eating disorders, God wants to heal tonight. He wants to send forth his word, and he wants to heal that eating disorder. Dr. Kobernick, if you have a scripture for that, let me know. Or Reverend Teresa, if you guys have a scripture for that, let me know, okay? All right.
It's a little different. It's on relationships, but usually we say marital relationships. In this, God wants to restore fathers, sons, mothers, and daughters. There's broken relationships here that God wants to supernaturally touch. So when we say that, you discount yourself because that does, I'm not married or I'm single or I'm divorced. God wants to restore you to your family.
So we call that emotional healing in some sense, yeah.
Emotional healing. Malachi said revival will come when this restoration process will take place. Fathers, sons, daughters, and sons. We live in a defragmented home. God wants to restore you and your home and your children and bring them back.
Malachi, do you know the reference? Find the reference. You got a scripture? Okay.
Not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Oftentimes, the eating disorders, it's the mind that, you know, you get plays tricks on you, it lies to you. So that sound mind is what God desires, and not fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
Good.
Malachi 4:6.
Malachi 4:6. All right. So those two areas, eating disorders or emotional healing in relationships, restoration in your relationships, right? And you may have, like Pastor Joel said, discounted yourself. Stand to your feet right now. Don't be ashamed. No one knows which one of those you're dealing with. So if maybe you were eating disorder, they might think it's emotional healing. But stand to your feet. No one knows. And listen, no one cares. We just want you to be healed. Amen? Amen? All right. Okay, so we're going to declare the word of the Lord. I'm going to have these two guys declare that word over you. We're going to pray, all right? So those of you that are standing, just lift up a hand to the Lord. They're going to pray quickly.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, Father God. So I speak to, Lord God, those eating disorders that are lying, that are deteriorating bodies, Jesus, and we just speak health over them, Father God. Father God, we know it doesn't matter what doctors have said or what peers are saying or whatever. Lord God, we know what your word says, Jesus, and by your stripes, we are healed, Father God. We are not controlled by our surroundings, Father God. We submit ourselves unto you. So we pray over this sickness and say, be healed and whole tonight in Jesus' name.
Father, tonight I declare healing over relationships. Father God, defragmented relationships, people that are not talking, whether sons, daughters, that you're not talking to your grandpa, your grandma, your uncle. Father, I pray that there will be supernatural God encounters, that today, this week, now, Father God, you will bring, Father God, Malachi 6 to fruition. There will be revival and restoration of the family and of the people that you've called by your name. So I pray, Lord, what you couldn't fix in a marital relationship, you begin to break down the wall even right now. Where there was no communication, let there be communication. Where there was unforgiveness, let there be forgiveness. And where there is now no way this could be restored, Lord, you restore them and you heal your people tonight in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, how many of you did not get prayer for your specific physical healing need? Raise a hand. Okay. It's okay. It's all right. If I did not cover it, all right, good. I'm glad. Here's the last way. Are you ready? All of us can do this. It's called believing and receiving. It's so simple. Jesus outlines it in Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Okay? Now, if you read the next verse, Jesus does put a condition on that. He says, and if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, right? Or if you need forgiveness, okay? That you would forgive and that will unlock some things in your life when you pray. But listen, if you search your heart and you say, well, I don't have aught against anybody, I'm not in unforgiveness, then all you got to do is apply the verse. Lord, I believe that I can be healed and I receive my healing in Jesus' name. Look at what Jesus had to say in Matthew 9:20-22. There's a woman, look at this, suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. She didn't ask. There was a crowd around Jesus. She didn't say, hey, Jesus, can I come up and touch? No, she broke through the crowd. She crawled through. She pressed in. She grabbed a hold of the hem of his garment. How rude. Yet she did it anyways. How dare a little old woman go and touch the great man of God, the rabbi, Jesus. We would even look in hindsight and say, this is the Messiah. This is God. What privilege does she have? What right does she have to come in and take hold of the King? She came from behind, touched the hem of his garment, verse 21. For she said to herself, she didn't have a word from God. She knew what God was doing. She had heard about Jesus. She had faith to believe. And because she had heard about what Jesus was doing, she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. What? She believed something. Now let's see if she received. Jesus turned around when he saw her and said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Not I'm making you well, not I'm healing you, not, hey, let's get the disciples to circle around you and pray for you. Your faith has made you well. Look at the last part of the verse. And the woman was made well from that hour. The woman was made well from that hour. Tonight, if we didn't pray for your specific healing need, you just get a hold of Jesus. Press through all the thoughts. Press through all the natural physical stuff. Lay hold of Jesus. Because if you'll say in yourself, if only I can get a hold of Jesus, if only I can touch, if only I can connect him, I will be healed. Jesus will turn around on you, child, and he's going to smile, and he's going to say, your faith has made you well, and you will be made well from that hour. So believe and receive. It's that simple. Amen. I want to dismiss you tonight. Stand to your feet. We're done. That's it. Praise God. Aren't you glad you came to church? Anybody that God prayed for already feel different? Oh my goodness. Don't lie. You feel better? Wait a second. In the back. You feel better? Let's wave in the hanky. All right. Wait. Oh, I saw you crying. Now you're waving and praising. Look at that. Look at that. Wow. Oh, over here. Is that Lionel? Lionel feels better. Come on. Wow. Wow. Over here? Feeling better? Awesome. Awesome. Oh, way over there. Hey. All right. Feeling better already. Feeling better already. That's awesome. Keep the faith switch turned on. Remember, therapy. God is working in your body. If you feel those symptoms, God's working in me for a healing and a cure. Keep the faith, keep praising, keep thanking him. Thank you, Jesus, by your stripes. Does it. Believe that you receive and you will have those things that you've asked for in prayer. Amen? Amen. Let me dismiss. I could preach all night, but I got to let you go. Lift your hands to the Lord. Let me bless you. Father, I bless the saints of God from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed coming, blessed going. May everything they put their hands to, they shall prosper. And Lord, I thank you that those that didn't get prayed for their issue, that be it unto them according to their faith. They believe and they receive that healing right now in Jesus' name, Lord God. And they're healed from that very moment onward, God. We believe you for it, God, for the miracles, for the signs and the wonders. And God, we make a declaration about the Inland Empire that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.